men have feelings. Okay? I don't care what anyone says. I even know the men who claim, no, I'm not a very emotional guy. You put them in front of a rugby game.
Oh, yeah.
You put them in front of someone swerving in the traffic. And those emotions come out. I've seen very calm, very stable men get extremely frustrated from time to time. And we call it frustration, but really that's emotion, isn't it? And what we're going to be doing tonight is we're actually not going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, although the Holy Spirit is a part of it. We actually have finished that that series. But we're going to be talking about feelings. Okay? And that might explain a little bit why we've separated from the woman. Because what they're going to be talking about downstairs, I've got a feeling, is most probably going to be a little different to what we're talking about up here. But you know, feelings are extremely powerful and important things. And we experience them at different times and in different ways. We experience them when we watch a sunset. Or we look at something beautiful, we appreciate something. There's just at certain times when we think about God, we can feel emotion in our hearts. We can feel good things. We experience feelings and emotions when we fall in love, don't we?
Yeah.
That when you have those feelings, it's like, I just can't get it out of my mind. Whatever she does, whatever she says, we attach meaning to it. There's just something that goes on in our hearts when we fall in love. It's seeing your sports team win. And you can be totally calm, and then all of a sudden it's getting closer to a try or to a goal, and then, Moore always laughs at me. There was one specific situation. AJ was young. I don't know if you remember the Confederations Cup. We had it a year before the World Cup. And I was watching, I think it was just before a midweek. And it was South Africa playing Spain, if I'm not mistaken. It was either Spain or Brazil. Was it Spain? And I was watching, and that was an intense game. And we were sitting there, and I was all ready. I changed in front of the TV, and then South Africa scored a goal. It was an amazing free kick. And I was jumping on the chair, and I was screaming. And then all of a sudden, AJ just has never seen his dad act this way before. Burst into tears, and mom came running through, and it was a family, a whole family, you know. And then, you know, you're driving in the car, and we, you know, heard that they scored a goal and we lost the game or what have you, and then I was all sad and depressed. And it's amazing what our emotions can what they can do. I think, yeah, see even grown men who didn't even cry in The Notebook. But when they talk about their children, boy, it just pulls on certain heartstrings, and all of those things are great. But you know, there's also a dark side to emotion. There's also something about emotions that Satan can get a grip of and really use it to hurt us. And if we don't understand the proper limits and the proper boundaries of our emotions and our feelings, then we can get ourselves into trouble. It can happen relationally, and it can certainly happen spiritually as well. And relationally, really in the church, I've seen this more times than I would like to have seen it. It's just seeing dating trouble. And you kind of see a brother and a sister getting together, and it all seems really, you know, it all seems really nice, but all of a sudden that relationship gets dragged into all kinds of impurity and sin, and it pulls them away from the church, pulls them away from God, and it's sad to see. But that emotion, that feeling of love or lust or whatever you want to call it, is so powerful. But without proper limits, proper boundaries, it can really cause a huge amount of heartache.
Yeah.
I think I've seen it as well in abusive relationships. You sort of sit there and you think, what are you doing? Get out! He's abusing you. You know, it's unhealthy. But boy, that those feelings, that devotion is just so powerful that you just have these blinkers on. And you can't see the damage that is happening to you. And obviously, it's something that's not uncommon to see abusive relationships. I think it's with kids. You love your kids so much, it's just so hard to let go sometimes. Whether they're small, and it's just letting them, fall down a little stair, what have you, learn from the school of hard knocks. Or getting older and struggling to give them more responsibility. It's just hard because we're so emotionally involved. I think we can get into trouble relationally, and obviously spiritually as well. We can have issues sometimes discerning between how we feel and what is true. And that can be a real wrestle. And sometimes it's not always that clear, is it? I think there's something like worship and music. That worship and music, on the one hand, it's an emotional thing, and we're all going to feel differently. But on the other hand, it's also a spiritual thing, because we take our worship seriously, don't we?
Yeah.
And so when it comes to what kind of music and what kind of songs, it becomes a difficult place for us. And we can get ourselves into trouble sometimes when we don't differentiate what is something that we feel and what is something that's true and biblical and from God. And Satan knows these things about us. And so he uses our emotions against us. And that's what we're going to have a look at. We're going to have a look at two buckets of thoughts. I'm going to quote a bunch of scriptures. We're not going to look at all of them. So listen carefully. But a lot of them you might know. But the first thought is that our feelings have limitations, and they can blind us. Our feelings have limitations, and they can blind us. In Jeremiah 17 verse 9. It says the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I mean, that in itself is an unsettling thought, isn't it? Just the idea that inside of your chest there is a liar that tells you things that are not true. I don't know about you, but that's a problem. And I'll tell you where I've seen it. The gym. I don't know if you've ever been in a gym and you sort of see someone just sort of, flexing there and sort of, pulling their chest in and flexing those arms. And you just sort of sit there and think, boy, buddy, if that makes you sleep better at night, then go for it. But you just need to understand how silly you look, from over here. And I don't know if any of you do that, and I'm sorry if I offend you. But the Bible in basic English, it says that the heart is a twisted thing. A twisted thing. And I heard what I think is an old Bushman saying. A woman's heart is like an anthill, with many entrances, tunnels, and compartments. The man who ventures there is easily lost. the Bushmen knew what they were talking about, didn't they? I don't think they're known for being Casanovas or what have you, but they certainly got some things right. And, our hearts, our feelings are just not always the most reliable place to discern what's true and what's not true.
Sure, right.
It's as simple as that. And just because you feel it doesn't mean that it's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because it feels good doesn't mean that it is good. And I think spiritually, I think sometimes we can be a little bit deceived in our hearts as to how well we're doing spiritually.
So true.
I tend to be of the deceived category, and I tend to go into a lot of spiritual conversations feeling like I'm doing better than I actually am. And as I start to talk about my life, all of a sudden, there sort of comes a point where I'm like, boy, I didn't actually think about that. And, throughout the conversations, I tend to feel very convicted by a huge amount of people that I come into contact with. Just because by nature, I have just so many blind spots, so many so many areas of deception. And I think sometimes when, you know, when I ask people or I see or I'm part of conversations, hey, how's it going spiritually? How are you doing? It's so easy to kind of say, hey, I'm fine because I'm feeling fine. But when you actually take some time to think, or you allow someone to ask you some questions, so how's it going with spending great time with God in the morning? Sorry, could you say that again? Yes, hanging out with God. Oh yes, hanging out with God. Yeah, well, you know, it hasn't been going so well. Oh, okay, well, you know, and it can obviously open up a great conversation. But I think sometimes we just feel like we're doing better than we really are.
Yeah.
I heard of a situation recently of a small group that basically didn't pitch up a small group. And no one told the small group leader. Now, I don't know what the reasons were. I didn't necessarily ask too many questions. But I don't know about you. I wouldn't even treat my enemies that way. If I didn't know the person, I would still, if I was expected to be at someone's house, I would at least tell them that I'm not going to be there. Yeah. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
With a stranger?
Yeah.
What about with your family?
That's right. Yeah.
What about with your small group leader? The person who thinks about you a whole lot, worries about you, prays for you. And I don't know how it turned out, and I hope there were apologies. This was just something I heard in passing. But, there's just some funny stuff going on in there.
Yeah.
And the question is, do you know about that funny stuff? Are you aware of it? Or has your heart deceived you? And relationally, I mentioned it before. You know, they're the right person for me. I can feel it. Well, yes, you need to feel it. Don't marry someone that you don't feel anything for. Okay, let's just get that one clear. But we just need to be careful that, boy, you know, it might feel right, but that might not be the Holy Spirit talking to you. That might be something else. I think in church, again, it's how we feel about different things affects our relationship with God. And church is an interesting place. It's an emotional place. We attach so much to the things that we do. But boy, to please 300 people is not easy. And sometimes we need to make decisions as a church that aren't going to make everyone happy. It happens in a marriage when there's only two people. In a small group where there's only 10. How about a church of 300? It's not so easy. We have different thoughts, different opinions about leadership styles. Now let me tell you something about me. The way I need to be led is not the way I like to be led. Okay? The way I like to be led is, hey, let's just chill out and let's just, you know, be a team and rah-rah and, you know, let's just encourage each other and, you know, we'll just encourage each other forward. That's kind of how I'm wired. I like that. Okay? That doesn't do good things for me spiritually. I need accountability. I need honesty. As much as I don't like it, I know I need it. And that's where that wrestle in my heart between what feels good and what is good takes place.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with how I lead as a father. My nature is far more permissive than what is good for my kids. I'm kind of, hey, it's a mess, and you know, I never cleaned up my room. You don't have to clean up your room, and you know, brush your teeth. They're about to fall out anyway. What's the point? And, you know, it's just I'm by nature, I'm a far less boundaried person than my 3-year-old kids need me to be. And so what feels right for me in the home is not necessarily what my family needs. And I need to wrestle with that. And I need to fight with that. And, it's the same in the way I lead my ministry. I want a kumbaya ministry where we can kind of all, you know, get along together. And, you know, why can't we just all be friends? And you know, that's what I want. But you know what? I've learned the hard way by watching people walk away from God because they weren't discipled. I've learned the hard way that sort of sitting around and encouraging each other the whole time does not produce the godly harvest. It's the discipline of Hebrews 12 that produces that harvest. Now, with all of these things, we can go to extremes, and we don't need to be extremists, but we need to be realists about what feels good and what is good. Amen?
Amen.
You know, in Proverbs 14, have a little peek in Proverbs. You guys there? Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. There is a way that may seem right to you, but in the end may lead to death. You know, I met someone who was sincerely deceived about a number of spiritual matters. I sat down a number of years ago with Justin Renton, and we did a Bible study with a guy who sort of didn't really believe the Bible. So we did an evidence study, just talking about some of the evidences and to try and see if that would maybe interest him. And we did the whole evidence study, and he sort of sat back and he listened, and I thought, wow, this is great, and you know, hopefully there's something going on there. And at the end, he kind of, you know, put down the Bible and he said, okay, well, that was interesting, but let me tell you guys what I believe. Okay. And when I say that I kept a straight face through this, you must understand how difficult that was. He told me that, or told us, that he believed that the earth was ruled by lizards. And that the Queen Mother was a lizard. And I think it was George Bush. So obviously a little while back. And that they were controlling the world, and you know, Princess Diana was going to expose them, and so that's why she was taken out, and that you know, that's basically it's the lizards are pulling the strings. Deadpan face. He was telling us what, not, you know. And you know, Justin and I sort of sat there, and we amazingly enough, we just kept a straight face, and that was kind of the end of the Bible studies. But you know, the Message translation translates that proverb as, there is a way of life that looks harmless. Look again. It leads straight to hell. And again, when we talk about spiritual things, We need to be careful that there is a way that may seem right, may feel right, but it leads to death. And there's some powerful examples of that in the Bible. I think of David. When we think of spiritual blindness, David, what a hero. Blinded by lust, wasn't he? That, boy, those feelings of lust and desire welled up in his heart. And, you know, as an outsider, you can see, dude, you're getting it wrong here. You're sleeping with another man's wife. You're killing him. You're messing up. This is not the David that God chose. But you know what? He was blinded by his lust, by his emotion. And Saul, what a great example, blinded by pride. If you haven't read this passage before, have a look at first, don't turn there, we don't have time. 1 Samuel 13, verse 5 to 14. Powerful. Here's Saul, given instructions, specific instructions. He's under a bit of pressure. His army's under attack. He disobeys the instructions. All of a sudden, he was told not to light the burnt offering until Samuel arrives. He gets stressed. He does it. Samuel sort of walks around the corner and says, "Hey, what, you know, what's going on here?" "Oh, I lit the burnt offering." And instead of feeling conscience stricken and saying, "Boy, you know what, I messed up, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it, I know you told me not to, and I just, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me, is there any way we can get our way around this?" What does he do? Those of you who know the story, he starts to blame. "Oh, well, Samuel, you were late, and you know, the men, this, and the situation, I felt compelled." His emotions got the better of him, and he got himself into some serious trouble. Samuel actually said to him, right there and then, "Buddy, you blew it. You should have listened. The kingdom has now been taken away from you and been given to someone else." I don't know if you've ever done that yourself. Been in a situation where you've been exposed, all of a sudden, whew, you know what I've done is the wrong thing. But instead of humbling yourself and saying, "Boy, you know what, I've messed up here, you know, I need to, can we sit down and talk about this? You just talk and I'll listen." Instead of being humble, it's, "Yeah, well, if this didn't happen, or boy, you know, my wife, or you know, the small group leader, what have you." And it's just pride, isn't it? Just blinds us. Just messes us up. And it becomes, you know, all those sort of, you know, everyone else's fault. And you know, instead of taking full responsibility, it's taking partial responsibility. "Yeah, I know I kind of did wrong, but it was the church, or it was the environment, or it was my disciple, or it was my kids." And it's just pride. It's just pride. And we need to claim that. I think we get blinded by our own opinions. Obviously, tied into that. But in Proverbs 28, it says, verse 26, it says, "He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe." You know, we know what God has to say about our hearts. And a wise person will be very careful to follow the, "Boy, you know, I've got a hunch about this. I've got a feeling about that." Not to say that those feelings aren't true, but a wise person will be very careful about those things. Very careful about those things. You know, it takes a lot of humility to say to someone, "Boy, you know, I've got some feelings about the church. Can I bounce them off you and maybe you can help me with them?" It takes humility to do that. "Yeah. Boy, you know what, I'm feeling some feelings towards someone, and I'm just not feeling good. Can you help me? Can I bounce that off?" "Or boy, you know what, here's a passage. I'm a little bit confused by it. What I feel like it says is different to what we believe as a church. Can you help talk me through it a little bit? I'm a little bit confused." It takes humility to do that, doesn't it? But I think sometimes we get blinded by our opinions. "Oh, they did that because that." Well, did you ask them? "No, but I know." We just get blinded, we get confused, and the Bible says that if we trust in ourselves, we're a fool.
That's right.
We need to be sensible enough to bounce things off other people. You know, you don't want spiritual mud on your face. I said to Vanna even this week, I said, "Bud, you know, here's a situation. I need you to tell me, I've got lots of blind spots. I need to tell you what the spiritual mud on my face is. What do you see that I don't see? I know there's something. I'm feeling unsettled. There's something stirring. But tell me what you see." Those are the kinds of friendships we need to have, don't we?
Yeah.
That we can say, "Boy, you know, point out the mud on my face. Help me. Help me see it." You know what? There's a gazillion different decisions that we need to make. But you don't want to be the person that's making bad career choices, life choices, relationship choices, leadership choices, and everyone else can see it. Except for you. You don't want to be that person. It's not a nice place to be. And in order not to be that person, you need to be humble enough to be open to different people's input. And you know what? It's sad when that pride is such, and obviously that pride kind of permeates everything, that when eventually things do go bad, What happens? Why didn't you tell me earlier? If you knew this, why didn't you point it out? Well, you know what? Maybe we would have if you'd asked. Maybe we would have if you'd asked. You know, I appreciate Van and Lisa so much. This last couple of weeks, just been getting so much help with our kids. Complicated and asked lots of questions. Got some great advice, great guidance. But you know who I appreciate even more is Maura for asking. I think sometimes when you are married to someone who asks more advice than you do, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And yet I'm so inspired by that. I feel like I want to be more like that. I want to ask more advice. And it's just a great example that I have in my own home. And you need to think for yourself tonight. If anything, if you take anything away, think. And you'll be blind to it. So that's why you need to take a little bit of time and think. What areas of my life could I have some blind spots? Yeah. What could there be? Where could there be some problems that maybe I just need to talk about? Maybe you don't even know. If you're like me, sometimes you actually just need to talk to think. And sort of, hey, often I ask Maura, I say, hey, this is what I'm feeling. Can you ask me some questions? And then she'll ask, no, it's not that. She'll ask, no, it's not that. She'll ask, you know, ask some more, and it just helps draw me out. So what you have to do with hard-hearted people. And if you think that there might be something in your life that you're feeling unsettled with, then get together with someone and let them ask you questions. It can save your life. You know, I spoke to someone the other day in a different congregation, and we were talking about families. And he said, James, frightening. Things happening in families for years and only coming out now. And he just said, James, it is such a mess. The mountain that needs to be overcome to untangle some of these situations is just huge. And he just said, it's so sad that the stuff's only coming out now. So sad. Again, we don't want to be those people. Whatever stage of life you're in, whatever issue you're dealing with, you don't want to be the person that eventually, when things are so bad, so complicated, you eventually like wave the white flag. You want to be the man who, boy, you know what? I've got some issues and I need to deal with it. Because I'm brave and I'm faithful and I believe in God. That's the man that we need to be. You know, we get blinded by dreams and false prophets. And I wish that we had enough time to read this passage, but it's a long passage. And I want to encourage you, if you just want to have like a, whoa, Bible reading time when you get home, have a look in Jeremiah 23, verse 16 to 40. Okay? Jeremiah 23, 16 to 40. Sometimes we can attach so much significance to things like dreams that feel so true. They're so vivid. It must be a message from God. Or sometimes we attach so much significance to spiritual people or spiritual icons that almost sort of whatever they say must be right or must be true. And we live in a very religious society. And as a church, we get drawn to those kind of things because we believe in God and we believe in things of God. And we need to be careful with those things. That our hearts and our emotions can be drawn to things that are exceptionally dangerous. And Jeremiah talks about us needing to be careful about prophets who tell you their dreams and claim that it's from God. It says we need to be careful. In verse 16 of that passage, it talks about visions of their own minds, delusions. And yet they say, this is God speaking. And what tends to happen in those situations, and Jeremiah sort of expands on it so nicely, is it's telling people that everything's going to be all right when it's not all right. And God has very severe things to say to those prophets. Because what happens? Deceived prophets become deceived followers. And God's severity is intense. That they were giving messages of comfort instead of calling to repentance. And some insight into the prophets, and there's obviously a whole bunch of them in the Bible, and it can get a bit confusing. But the prophets didn't spend a whole lot of time coming up with new stuff. The prophets' main deal was, guys, we've got the law. Now we need to follow it. The law says if we step this way, this is the consequence. The consequence is coming. Repent. Change. It wasn't necessarily all about prophecies in the future and kind of new stuff. There weren't necessarily a whole lot of surprises in the prophets. Go read Moses. God said very clearly, here are the choices, life and death. Here are the choices. Follow me and this will happen. Disobey and this will happen. And yeah, the prophets, it was all about repentance.
Yeah.
It was all about repentance. I think sometimes we forget that the message of peace, where there is no peace, is evil.
Yeah.
It's an evil message. In churches, when you hear, oh, don't worry, you don't have to repent, all you have to do is believe and come to the front, and you know, Auntie so-and-so who bakes such nice cook sisters. You know, don't say anything nasty about her. And we get sentimental and we get caught up and we need to love people, we need to reach out to people, but we must be careful of false prophets who teach us peace when there is no peace. And God's warning to them, and the end result was that they were cast out of God's presence and received everlasting shame. False prophets. You need to be careful. You know, in South Africa, there is so much mysticism. We're such a religious society. This is a real issue for us.
That's right.
We experience it as people. We experience it in our family. We experience it with people we reach out to. We need to be careful. Satan will use any means to get you off the path. Dreams, false prophets, just because it feels good doesn't mean that it's true. And finally, the last thought, and we're not going to look at the scriptures, but the theme is pretty evident. Because our feelings and our emotions lie to us, they need to be guided. There needs to be something with our emotions kind of, you know, being drawn towards things that make us feel good or ways that feel good, or, you know, because we can be up and down and all over the place and we like to feel good. If you're anything like me, I don't like to feel bad. Because of all of these things going on, this deceiver in our hearts, we need to have true and solid things to hold on to.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to hold on to Jesus and His Word. What did Jesus say in Luke 9? Anyone wants to come after me must deny himself. It is hard sometimes to choose the will of God. It is hard to follow Jesus. That if we trust in our own ways, we can get ourselves into trouble. Confessing, sharing your faith, coming to church sometimes, coming to midweeks is not always easy. It's hard. We don't feel like it. Maybe even right now, on your way to church, you're thinking, boy, you know what? I really want to be at home with a cup of hot chocolate watching Lost Season 17. And maybe that thought crossed your mind. But you know what? The kingdom of God is about doing the right thing in spite of being tired.
Yeah, that's right.
It's obeying God in spite of feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
In spite of the hardship. In spite of the persecution. In spite of being tired. Take self-denial. Mm-hmm. And when we lose that spirit of following Him in self-denial, then you know what? We've lost everything. We've lost everything. There is no path to follow Jesus without sacrifice. In Galatians 1, verse 6 to 9, if an angel visits and gives you another gospel, other than the one that was preached, what does Paul say? Let him be eternally condemned. Now, being visited by an angel must be an intense experience. I don't know if any of you have ever had that. You know what Paul says about that? Big deal. He says, big deal. We've got the Bible. We've got the gospel. Angels, big deal. You want to go follow them? You're writing your own death sentence. Big deal. We've got the Bible. We've got the scriptures. Any other gospel is no gospel at all. And Paul says, I'm astonished at how quickly some people have been deserting that gospel. And I get astonished by that as well sometimes. I don't know about you. You're there at the baptism and, you know, giving their heart to Jesus and it's just so encouraging and what have you. And boy, 6 months down the line, a year down the line, 10 years down the line. You think, oh, just walking the path for so long. Go make a silly mistake.
That's right.
Go get corrupted. Go, you know, let Satan get in there. Let your emotions, something goes wrong in your heart. And you start listening to the wrong voices. It's just, it's sad and it's astonishing. And you know, Matthew 7 verse 21 to 23 says that on judgment day, many people are going to be surprised. And it's not just the atheists. So we're arriving here going, whoa, okay, so there was a God. Whoa, okay, well, you know. It's not just the atheists. It says many who say, Lord, Lord, doing miracles in Jesus' name, are going to get one hell of a surprise on judgment day. And you know what the scary thing is? That might even be me. Might even be you.
That's right.
Because you know those Lord, Lord people, they didn't know.
Yeah.
They were the ones doing the miracles. They were the ones preaching. Only those who do the will of the Father. And you know, doing the will of the Father and doing your own will in the name of the Father, two very different things.
Yeah, yeah.
Two very different things. And Jesus gets right to the point there. And you know what? Yeah, it comes down to self-denial again. There is a difference between what you want and what God wants. As you grow spiritually, that difference becomes less and less. But there's always self-denial involved. There's always difficulty involved. And like Jesus, we need to have the Spirit when it does get difficult, when we do arrive at crossroads. Not my will, but your will be done. I think the final thing that we need is spiritual friends to guide us.
Amen.
And not just spiritual friends as in they, you know, they sing in the song leaders team, so they must be spiritual. Or even that they're small group leaders and therefore they must be spiritual. Talking about spiritual and honest friends.
Mm.
You know, in Proverbs 27 verse 6 it says, wounds from a friend can be trusted.
Yeah.
But an enemy multiplies kisses.
Yeah.
We must be careful about people who multiply their kisses when what's really needed is a wound from a friend. And you need those people in your life. You need those friends who are willing to wound you.
Yeah.
And if you have friends like that, you need to spend some time with them. That we all need pruning. We all need honesty from time to time. Just a good honest chat can really change your life, can't it? Really can. So to close out, emotions, important things, powerful things, bring so much joy to our lives. But they need to be managed, don't they? We need to make sure that we understand that there are limitations to the things that go on in our hearts. We have proper boundaries. We need to take very special care of our hearts. And I want to encourage us as brothers that even though we might not always consider ourselves emotional, that we are emotional.
Yeah.
And emotions are good things. But let's base our spiritual lives not on the shifting winds of emotion, but on the solid bedrock of Jesus and His words. Amen. Let's go to God.
Amen.